morning. Thank you for coming. Today I'll be talking about the influence of grazing management on soil carbon and mycorrhizae. Burning of fossil fuels is increasing the amount of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere, and it is important to understand the ways to mitigate this increased carbon dioxide. Soils are one of the largest terrestrial carbon pools, and grazing can influence this soil carbon storage in the soil. Studies suggest mob grazing as a way to store this soil carbon. Mob grazing is also known as short-term high-intensity grazing, savory method, or holistic management. A study through the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture suggests that carbon sequestration can occur through mob grazing. Another study through NRCS in Iowa suggests that mob grazing produces healthy soils and livestock. But my main question is, how is this possible? What are the main mechanisms that could increase soil carbon? The first possible mechanism is trampling. Trampling occurs when cattle are eating the vegetation, but their hoof action compacts the vegetation into the soil. The second mechanism is manure and fertilizer. As the cattle eat the vegetation, they add manure into the soil as a source of fertilization. The third mechanism is arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi. Arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi form from inside the root and extend out into the soil. They increase the surface area of the roots, enhancing nutrient uptake and increasing the environment for bacteria. AM fungi form symbiotic relationships with most rangeland plants and help increase nutrient uptake compared to the root on the left, which does not have fungi. Studies also show that AM fungi can increase soil carbon. Let me explain how. Over here we have a root in the orange, which is surrounded by microaggregates and particulate organic matter with the red. The green is a net of hyphae that surrounds the particulate organic matter and microaggregates, forming one large microaggregate. And this macroaggregate helps protect the particulate organic matter, reducing the decomposition of carbon. And when that gets reduced, there is more soil carbon. So from this, our research questions have been developed. The first one, does mob grazing increase soil carbon in northern Arizona? The second question, is soil carbon related to the density of mycorrhizal fungi? To do this study, we have gone to Flying M Ranch, which is just north of Phoenix, where an 18-year grazing experiment has been conducted. Over here, we sampled from 2015 to 2016 before and after grazing, and grazing occurred in the month of August. Two grazing treatments were studied in three different replicated areas. The first grazing treatment was the grazed, where there were 160 cattle per 1 hectare area for 24 hours. Then we had the ungrazed site where there was no cattle grazing. We did have a moderate treatment, and the results for that treatment were right in between the two extremes. So for this talk, I will only be discussing what we learned from the two extreme treatments. This is an illustration of what occurs right after grazing. As you can notice, in the grazed area, the vegetation and the soil have been impacted thoroughly above ground. But we are interested in knowing what occurs below ground. And to do this, we measured soil organic matter through loss on ignition, carbon and nitrogen and their isotopes through a combustion analyzer. We extracted roots with roots greater than 2 millimeters, coarse particulate organic matter, and fine particulate organic matter. AM fungal hyphae was also extracted from the soil, read through a compound microscope, and hyphal lung length was identified. Soil properties such as aggregate stability, soil compaction, and bulk density was also measured. Vegetation analysis was done through a point intercept method to help identify common species such as Butuluwa gracilis and Artemisia cruthii. So let's see if we have been able to answer our research questions. The first one, does mob grazing increase soil carbon in northern Arizona? Over here we have the amount of carbon that was converted from organic matter, taking bulk density into account. And we have got megagrams of carbon per hectare at a depth of 1 meter. And we can see here that through the ungrazed and grazed treatment from May to June, there is a substantial increase in the grazed plots. On average, seasonally, we have a 5% increase in soil carbon through the grazing treatment. So let's look at some evidence that could support this increase in soil carbon. The first one we see is the relationship between soil carbon and roots. Over here, we have a positive relationship with coarse roots and carbon. A second piece of evidence is the delta 13 isotopic signature, which is the measurement of the source of carbon. And this is important because we want to know what is driving this increase in soil carbon to understand the how of this process. Delta 13 measures the change in ratio between C12 and C13 and helps us see that the source of carbon has changed. If you take a note here, in the month of August, in the gray side, the delta 13 isotope is less negative, telling us that the source of carbon has changed. We are still doing carbon mixing models to identify the specific source, either from the shoots and the roots. And this helps explain the mechanism of trampling, as the vegetation is being increased in the soil through trampling, but we still want to know if it's coming from roots or shoots. The second mechanism of nitrogen and fertilization can be explained through the delta N15 isotope signature. This is showing us the amount of nitrogen that is being processed and being metabolized biologically. And there is an increase in the graze site, showing us that manure addition is adding to the amount of carbon. Now let's see if our second question has been answered. Is soil carbon related to the density of mycorrhizal fungi? This is a graph showing the amount of hyphae length through the seasons. We are seeing that there is no grazing effect on hyphae length, but there is a significant season effect where there is higher hyphae in the month of October. And this could be, we can speculate the cause of this, that as the vegetation above ground is becoming dormant, the microorganisms below ground are still active and preparing for the winter, thus the increase in hyphae. As stated before, studies show a positive relationship between AM fungi and soil carbon, but in our system we did not see this, so the mechanism of hyphae increasing soil carbon has not been shown here. So far, we are seeing a positive impact of management with soil carbon, but it's important to look at the whole picture. The soil that we have studied in our system is bare soil soils, which is a shrink-swell clay soil, and it changes every winter. So we did not see an effect in bulk density, but we did see an increased compaction and decrease aggregate stability. So as compaction increases, there is less water infiltration in the soil, and that reduces the growth of vegetation. As we decrease aggregate stability in the graze site, there is more soil erosion, and that leads to more decomposition, so there is less soil carbon. Let's see what happens to the vegetation. Over here, we're able to see that the grazing treatment is changing the vegetation community. Common species such as Artemisia cruthii has decreased with grazing, but Pascopyrum smithii has increased. But I would like to point out some key species, such as Bromus tectorum, a noxious weed, has increased with grazing. Melilotus officialis, an invasive species, has increased with grazing. And Salsola kali, another noxious weed, has increased with grazing. So in conclusion, mob grazing has increased soil carbon. We did not see a relationship between AM hyphae and soil carbon. but we did see undesirable effects of mob grazing on vegetation and soil properties. So I would like to leave you with this question. Is the soil carbon increase worth the undesirable effects? As mentioned before, we did look at the moderate treatment, and as I stated, that fell in between the two extremes. But we are seeing that we did not have as much undesirable effects. The carbon was slightly increased, and compaction was present, but there were no noxious weeds, vegetation there. So maybe moderate mob grazing could be a suggested way of grazing. I would like to thank Northern Arizona University and Dr. Nancy Johnson for helping me through this research. And if there's time for questions. Thank you for a question, ma'am. Yes, in a normal ranging setting, 160 cattle for 24 hours is not the norm, but it is a way to understand what the impact of grazing is. So we have worked locally with grazers in Flagstaff who are interested in understanding this research and have got these exclusive plots. But the moderate grazing is what is more practical, and we are seeing it does increase soil carbon slightly and does not have as many adverse effects.
And what was the moderate as far as the number of cows?
The moderate is still, again, the same amount of cows, but over a larger area. And they are able to roam open range, is what it is.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your question. The question was where has the carbon come from and is there 1 year of sampling? We have the actual treatment of grazing has occurred for 18 years, but the soil carbon measurement was not taken. We don't have a time zero, but after 18 years, there has been a buildup and that... And May is an illustration of the amount of carbon that has been there for 18 years. And there is carbon in the soil system, and that's the representation of what we're seeing there. I hope that answers the question. Yeah, thank you. Yes, sir.
So you're basically, causing those. Was grazing tried other seasons where the soil might be drier so it would get those effects?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, especially because of how moisture correlates with organic matter. And the ranchers are really specific on trying to understand when to graze. And yes, August is after the monsoon season. July is when the main monsoon hit that year. And so after they calculate and see what is the best time, they do it right after the monsoon. So there is not as much impact with monsoon in August, but it had the weather had changed and it was a little more warmer. So yeah. But July is when the main monsoon hit, and we can see that has an effect seasonally on the amount of carbon, as it has decreased a little bit.